Without the Spirit of God in us, our heart could not cry out, Lord. I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the 14th chapter of Exodus, please. As I said a moment ago, the first thing that I heard sitting in this chair over here, coming from a man who's nothing more than a man saved by our Lord Jesus Christ, a sinner saved by grace, but yet a man who spoke God's word, and that man told me, the God of all creation, the creator of all things, is Lord of all. Otherwise, you wouldn't call him God. You couldn't call him God. For the title of God must mean everything. All things are of him. All the air we breathe, everything that happens to us, everything that happens around us, he's God of everything. Or he's not God at all. This morning I would like to talk to you about great things. Great things. What comes to your mind when you consider the phrase great things? I was speaking to Danielle about that a moment ago. The rock formations of Yosemite. Have you ever stood at the bottom of the El Capitan rock and look back and, whoa, that's so big. Or maybe at the ice fields of Canada, by Jasper, Canada. 300 feet of solid ice on top of a 200-foot ridge. And it's just straight up and down, and it never melts. Maybe a little bit, enough for a river to come out the bottom and travel 850 miles out and become the Columbia. What about the night sky? Have you ever stopped? And, you know, I got to tell you something. One of the things about staying up here on the weekends, and I believe we're going to start staying here a lot more, but the stars up here are amazing. Yeah, I've been camping, and I've sat on top of mountaintops of French Meadows, Forest Hill, and even up here at Echo Summit, Tahoe, and seen the stars, and they're magnificent, absolutely. But when you live down there in that smog-infested valley, everything is filtered through the smog, even at night. You think that yellow stuff goes away at night? No, it's still there. And you don't see the stars because there's so much other light around you. But you get up here out of the valley where you got no light around you, you can look up and it's just, man, what a great thing our God has created. How cool, all that stuff. And of course, nowadays they can see beyond what we can see with the naked eye, and there's even some really, really neat stuff out there that we can see. And God created all that. Those are great things. How about the ocean? You ever sit on the beach of an ocean and think about how great that is? It just goes on and on and on. And the waves just keep coming and keep coming. And oh, the life that is out there in that deep. All the different magnificent animals that our God has created. What about an event? Does it bring to your mind maybe an event when you think of great things? Some, like myself, may think of a child. Was that a great event for you? Some may be thinking about a marriage. Possibly one in sometime around August. Could that be a great event? I bet it is. 42 years ago, I had one of those great events. 40 years ago, I had another great event when my son was born, and then a little bit after that, I had another great event when my daughter was born. So an event could be a great thing also, could it not? Could that be something that follows, comes across your mind? We all have something or some event that we can call a great thing in our lives. Or maybe you don't. Are you with me in Exodus 14?
Yes.
I'd like to take a look at an event that one might call a great thing, beginning at verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. And he made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left.
Wow.
Are you getting a picture of this? This is a real event, folks. This is not some fairy tale story or a parable. This really happened. This is how Israel was delivered from Egypt. And these people are walking. The winds picked up yesterday, didn't it? Yeah, that's what the Lord says right here. All night. And made the sea dry land. So the winds picked up yesterday, and here the now we're walking right between walls of water. I can't even imagine what that looked like. But it had to be something spectacular.
Yeah.
And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come upon again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of the Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, and there remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel, the people of God, all the different nations that had been in the world at that time. It wasn't just Egypt and Israel, you know. They had the Canaanites and all of the other ites and Hittites and all the other ites and all the Hittites. I already said that. But there was a lot of other people out there. But there was only one people. One people who had the oracles of God with them. Those who were chosen of God. Our Lord is preaching election. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen. But the children of Israel, in verse 29, walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left hand. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. What an event these people of Israel had just witnessed. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be bound in slavery? You and I can't even comprehend what slavery is. Even though our government seems to be talking a bunch of foolishness about it right now, we have no idea truly what it would be like to be slaves. Here we have a people who were bound by the Egyptians in a way that we can't even comprehend, beaten, used okay, so we lost 500 today putting that big rock up there on whatever pyramid. Okay, that's no biggie. We got 500 more over here. That's the attitude of the Egyptians. That was their attitude. These are not, our dogs are better taken care of than these people. The burden of sin is on every man. And that's what sin is like. That's what sin does to men and women. The burden of this people. Imagine what it was like for them to stand on the other side now. And that great thing that they had just seen delivered them from their bondage. The Egyptians could no longer pursue after them. They no longer had to worry about it. They may have had other worries to worry about ahead of them, but for this moment, that bondage was gone. And they were delivered by the only one who could, God Almighty. And it was perfectly clear who did it. What a great thing that must have been to see. But know this. There were people right there in that group who saw that great thing. Who saw the walls standing straight up and down and walking on dry ground underneath it. They saw it firsthand, and yet they did not know the wonders of the Lord and the greatest deeds that He would do. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, if you would, chapter 8. Many witnessed the great miracles of God, and they missed the greatness of them. Do you understand what I mean by that? We saw the great miracle of God separating the Red Sea, but they did not understand what it meant. They did not see that it was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ saving us. Saving His chosen people. Saving His elect. Those for whom He has loved before the foundation of the world. Before anything was ever made. A picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He would go through. What He would go through to save us. He would go through judgment. He who is perfect in every way was made to be sin that we would be made righteous in Him. These people saw the miracle of God right before their very eyes, yet they're going to go out into the wilderness and forget it. Which is exactly what you and I would do. Which is exactly what many have come into this very building and have done. We are few. God has brought a lot of people into this building over the 20 years that I've been here. Many come and many go. Why are you staying? The Lord has placed His miracle upon your heart.
Yes.
He has shown you who it is that did that miracle. That miracle of delivering you from the sin that you once were in. Now it doesn't mean we don't sin still. We still have the sin of the flesh. But my spirit stands in the Lord Jesus Christ, perfect as He is. My Savior has paid for that sin. And although I dread it and I try not to, I can count on His promises. Can you?
Yes.
Can you stand on His promises?
Yes.
Because His promises are sure. I shall never leave you nor forsake you, He says. That's a promise that's so sure we can count on it. We can put everything we have on it. These ones who witnessed this great miracle of God, they missed the greatness of it. For instance, We know that the manna from heaven. They got out here into the wilderness. Oh, Moses, we missed the fine herbs that we had. We had it so good back there in bondage. Oh yeah, they didn't care if we lived or not, and they killed us all the time. But yeah, the foods were much better than what we have out here. We had doves, we had birds, we had food. We got nothing out here. Moses goes to God and says, God, we got to feed these people something. Okay, fine. I'll give them something that nobody else has ever seen. And it tastes like honey. We'll give you some little wafers and we call it manna from heaven, bread from heaven. They saw the miracle of manna growing in the desert. And they had no idea what manna meant. They had no idea what it was a picture of. They had no idea that it was the food from heaven that you and I feed on. No, we don't eat his flesh. We don't actually eat and drink his blood. But that's what sustains me. That's what sustains us as we go through this world, seeing all the stuff around us, seeing our own sin within our flesh. The only thing that sustains me is to know that my Lord and Savior has paid for that with his flesh and with his blood. The only thing that keeps me going in that very, with that very knowledge of my sin is that he has paid for it. And now he looks at me as though I am as righteous as he is. He sees that sin no more. What about the rock? You know, they were traveling. And the rock went with them. And water flowed from the rock in the desert. What a miracle that must have been to see. But yet they could not see with the heart what that meant. The water, a picture of the gospel, the good news that goes out. We drink the still waters of our life in him. Many witnessed the great miracles of God and they missed the greatness of them. Yet in all these things, the people turned and they went their own ways. The most wonderful thing our God has done for me, the most great thing that I can tell you today, he has done for me, is reveal himself to me. To give me an understanding of who he truly is. To personally touch me. That I wouldn't walk through life and see miracles all around me and not know what they meant. Now I know what it all means. It means my Lord is Lord of all. You see, that's true worship of God, folks. Recognizing, understanding, and declaring that he is Lord of everything. Not just Lord of this and this. No, he's not Lord of that over there. That's their own free will. They don't want to give that up to the Lord. Our Lord is Lord of everything. Or you cannot call him God. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. We can see all the greatness of our Creator throughout all of creation. The wonder of birds. The wonders of a mole that just pops up out of the ground. Now, Kathy didn't think that was very wonderful, but it still is. We can see the wonders of the body. When you think about the heart that pumps in our chest, isn't it amazing how that muscle moves all that blood through the body and the body works? And all that stuff works together. You put something in up here and it comes out other places. And this is all just a magnificent thing that our God has created. You know that, don't you, Danelle? Being a nurse. Yeah. But can you see the greatness of His love? The greatness of His love for His people. Has He touched your heart and made you whole? Are you with me in Luke chapter 8? Join me in reading verse 26. Luke 8, verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadareans, which is over against Galilee. And when He went forth to land, there met Him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. This man lived in the tombs of the dead. What a sad picture. But this is a picture of you and I before the Lord came and gave us a new heart. We were dead in trespasses and sin until the Lord came to us. Not lost to Him, but lost to ourselves. And gave us life. We abode in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before Him, verse 28, with a loud voice, and he said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place and into a lake and were choked. And when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went out of and told it in the city and in the country. And when they had went out to see what was done and came to Jesus, they found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Here is this man who at one time would break any of the chains you could put on him. Who went around screaming and crying out and acting all the things that men do in the world. And now what is he doing? He's sitting at the feet of Jesus in what? In his right mind. They also which saw it told them by what means, verse 36, and that he was possessed of the devils and was healed. Then the multitude of the country of the Gadareans round about besought him, speaking of our Lord Jesus, to depart from them, for they were taken of great fear, and he went up into a ship and returned back again. Now here's what I want you to see. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, speaking of being with Jesus. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return into thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. He who has light does not hide the light that is in the closet, in a closet or under a bed. No, the light is placed. It's placed where it can light up the room. When God has revealed His great love to one of His chosen people, we cannot withhold it. In John 4:14, our Lord said to the woman at the well, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." We can't hide the fact from those around us that our God rules everything. I mistakenly said something to somebody the other day about luck. Oh, you're one of those. Well, yes, I am. I seriously doubt I'll ever have another conversation with that person. Not because I don't want to, but because they probably don't want to. But to declare that my Lord is Lord over everything, oh, you're one of those. When one has been given the gift of faith, the gift of belief, the new birth, the new heart, the gospel flows as a river, and we publish what great things our Lord and Savior has done for us, don't we? What has your God done for you? He saved me from me. What do you mean by that? I was on the path to destruction. And I didn't know it, but I was one of His. I was like a lost sheep wandering around on the hillside. And He came to me. He came to me by drawing me in, that I would hear His gospel preached and know who He is. It may be the way we walk. It may be the way we talk. You know, all you have to do is walk around and enjoy the creation of God around you, and people will say, "Why are you always happy?" Well, look what my Lord did in the clouds up there. Isn't that cool?
Yes, very much.
Oh, you're one of those.
Hallelujah.
It may be the way we talk or the way we walk, but the light does shine. Has the Lord done great things for you? Oh, what it is to be a certain man, like that certain man, or a certain woman, like that certain woman. For God to call them a certain man or woman means that they're His. It means they belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Oh, what it is to be a certain man or a certain woman, one for whom the Savior has given the greatest gift of all, the greatest thing of all. That was the giving of Himself. God became a man. Glory was made flesh. Heaven came down. He was born of a woman, born under the law, that He would fulfill that law perfectly for His people, for His elect. And He did it perfectly without spot. "This is my beloved Son," said God from heaven, "on whom I am well pleased." He did it perfectly. We who could not are saved because He did. His obedience, even the obedience unto death, is our only hope of salvation. His justice is satisfied for us. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 we read, "For He, God the Father, had made Him, God the Son, to be sin for us, His elect, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." A day of judgment is coming for all. Those who have walked in their own righteousness shall be cast away into eternal damnation. If you are trusting in anything, anything that you have done, if you think because you have walked down to the front of the aisle and prayed some prayer with some man, or made a decision that you'll start following the Lord Jesus Christ, or you got into the baptismal waters and you think because you got in there, or you come to the Lord's table, or you stop doing whatever you were doing on Sunday and you start coming to church, if you think any of those things, God is going to say to you, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." God's people stand in Christ and in Christ alone. There is nothing in the flesh that we can have any confidence in. And that includes your thoughts, your feelings, whatever. Put those things aside and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. There is a people for whom Christ died. A people that were given to Him before the world was. God the Father gave God the Son a people, and that God the Son would pay their sin debt with His own precious blood. This people are from every kindred, every nation, every tribe. And in the day of His power, through God the Spirit, they will be made willing. They will be made alive. We who were once dead now live because of Him and for Him. Turn over to the first chapter of Luke, chapter 1, and I'll bring this to a close. When God, by His Spirit, through the preaching of His Word, has put His light of truth in one of those for whom He has loved with an eternal love. And that's what He says. He says, I have loved you with an eternal love. That means eternal that way to eternal that way. He's always loved us, and He will always love us. We are amazed by His sovereign love and grace, a grace that would save a wretch like me, as Paul said. Mary was blessed with carrying the God-child. He whose name is Emmanuel, God with us. He who is called Jesus, for He shall save His people. And her reaction is no less than of all who are brought to know the Savior. Look at verse 46 with me of chapter 1, Luke 1, chapter 1, verse 46. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. Mary had just seen an angel of the Lord come to her and tell her who this child in her was and who the child in her cousin Elizabeth was. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. We know our depravity. For us to look to the only God, we must see what we are first, and we are completely depraved of anything that we could give to Him. We have nothing. And my spirit hath rejoiced, my God, for He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud with the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of a low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent empty away. He hath hope in His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. As He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Our God is great, for great things He hath done. Amen. Would you stand with me, please?